Well, hi there, folks. Welcome to the program. This, of course, is Stinchfield, the podcast. It is so great to be with you. I want to talk today about this. Chinese migrants on our southern border in record numbers. More Chinese migrants coming across in the month of April than in all of 2022. What is going on with this? Are we being invaded? Is Xi Jinping, the leader of China, the head of the Chinese Communist Party, is he creating a standing army on U.S. soil? All of it is most certainly a possibility. I do think we are under attack from so many levels from China, and this is just one of them. One of the interesting things is you have to get approval to leave China. So the question then becomes, how are these people getting out? Or is Xi Jinping sending them here? To help us get some answers to those questions, is the new federal state of China. Ayla Wang is going to join us in just a second, folks. But before we get started, let's make it official.
Uncensored and unapologetic, this is Stinchfield. Here's your host, Grant Stinchfield.
All right, as promised, Ayla Wang is with us from the new federal state of China, the group aimed at taking down the Chinese Communist Party. Ayla, welcome to the program.
Grant, thank you so much for inviting me on your show.
Well, it's great to have you here. You and I have talked a lot about Chinese nationals coming into America. This has been going on for a while. It's not new. What is new is the surge. I think it's fair to call it that. It seems to be that more than ever, there are massive amounts of Chinese nationals coming across the border. What is going on here?
Absolutely, Grant. You know, there are people talking about, you know, how it is strange to see middle-aged Chinese nationals surging into the borders of America. And if you, you know, if when I saw the clip, that exactly shows what you told, right? All of these migrants here, they're not with their wives, they're not with their children. And this is concerning for the United States to see that. I have to admit, you know, some of these migrants might just wish to, you know, leave China, leave the communist regime. But the problem here is that, you know, with new federal state of China, we made a very clear stance about all of the migrants, about all of Chinese nationals who wish to leave the CCP regime. We encourage, you know, anybody to leave, you know, with valid visas for entry into the United States. And we do not stand and we do not encourage any of these, you know, illegal methods of getting into a free country. And the problem here today is that when we see this, you know, Chinese nationals coming in, it is very hard for border officials to verify whether they are sent by the Chinese communist government or whether they simply just want to leave the CCP state. Another issue here is that even today, you know, in mainland China, there are illegal agencies who are helping and promoting their services of getting people through you know, the southern borders into America, and the agencies begin to charge, you know, the Chinese citizens for services like that. And this is primarily, you know, a way, you know, for the CCP to easily manipulate these migrants, also, you know, to exaggerate the influence overall in the U.S. politics.
All right, so let me just give our viewers and listeners a look here. My buddy Oscar Ramirez, he works for Real America's Voice. He's an independent journalist as well. And he has documented some of this. I'm going to play a clip from him. Listen.
A message to Alejandro Mayorkas. We are in the migrant camp of San Vicente. The majority right here on the back, all of them are from China, as they are migrating into the northern borders of the United States. Venezuela, China, 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 Venezuela, 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 China. Where are you going? You, United States? United States, USA, where are you going?
USA.
This is China.
Yes, from China.
China. Where you going? To the United States. USA.
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 American law, New York.
America, New York.
Yes.
Yes. Xi Jinping. No. No, okay. USA, China. China, China. Nepal. China. China, 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 China. China.
China.
China.
China.
China.
China.
China. China. China. China. China. China. China. China. China. China. China. China. China. China. China. China. China. China. China. China. China. China. China. Wow. All Chinese.
So, Ayla, I play that and play all of it because it is pretty stunning. And I want to ask you a question, what I'm struck by. The difference in the makeup of the migrant, right? When we see them coming from Venezuela and Nicaragua, and they really look like they've been put through the ringer, that they look rough. Clothing is rough. They have just the things on the back. But I look at these Chinese migrants. They look to be middle class. I mean, they seem pretty well put together. They're all washed up. They look like normal people coming as if they maybe just flew here, as opposed to the Central and South American migrants who rode a train and they look pretty disheveled coming through here. Why is that? What is going on here? How is this possible?
Absolutely, Grant. You know, as I mentioned, there are agencies in China that illegally provide such services of, you know, importing or having these migrants coming through, you know, coming through the southern border to the United States. And some of them might already pay those agents for doing so. On the other hand, you know, it is worth noticing that when the reporter asked these migrants about Xi Jinping, most of the Chinese citizens chose to shut their mouth. You know, they are still, you know, they're not willing to comment anything on Xi Jinping, and some of the migrants might just want to leave China and then to make a living in the United States. But again, you know, all of these methods are illegal for entering into this country, and that this is primarily why that the CCP state government does not even, you know, publish any policies to restrain these illegal agents from you know, migrating the citizens into the United States. And that is where, you know, make us concerned. It is very easy for CCP state to merge any of their personnel into these migrants into the country.
You know, I am a believer that the majority of these migrants coming from China are well-intentioned. I do think they want to escape the CCP and the tyranny that comes with living in China today. I believe that. I also believe there may be some that are well-intentioned that Xi Jinping, you know, maybe working with. Byron Donalds, he's congressman from Florida. He was asked an interesting question, and I want you to hear his response, and then I'd like to get your response really to Maria Bartiromo's question about how they managed to come out without the approval of Xi Jinping. Take a listen.
Congressman, real quick on these Chinese nationals. You can't leave China without approval from the communist government, right?
As to my latest understanding, you cannot. So it's very interesting that you can't leave China unless Xi Jinping says it's okay. But you can walk into America and nobody, not even a border agent, can stop you. That is terrible policy for a country. We have to do better, not hope. And there's not going to be any negotiations with Senate Democrats. Let me tell Chuck Schumer right now, we're not negotiating over this point. You either secure the border or don't come to the House of Representatives looking for cash. We don't have money for you, Chuck, until the border is secure.
Well, clearly that's an older clip because they still handed out the money as they need it without any secure border. But he does raise an interesting point, and Maria Bartiromo raises an interesting question. If you need approval to leave China, how are these people getting out? Does Xi Jinping know they're leaving? Are they sneaking out? I know you said there's these agencies that help people. Are they literally trafficking them out of there under the cover of darkness?
Exactly, Grant. We do believe that there are agencies help these traffickings into, you know, into the southern border. On the other hand, it is true that, you know, the communist state government is the only agency is the only institution who will grant travel documents or passports to Chinese citizens. And this is where, you know, the dark area is where these agencies chime into, and many of these illegal agencies might have already worked with CCP state as well. You know, they chose, they gave guidance on the routes, and they gave guidance on all of the traveling planes, trains, methods, and helped them with the documentation in order for these migrants to leave China. And so the question here is that, you know, regardless if they chose, you know, the illegal agencies or they obtained their passports from the government directly, all of these, you know, the hands are always CCP, and the hands are always coming from the Chinese government.
Do you think there's a lot of talk about building a standing army, that they could call these military-aged men coming across, they could call them up to service, God forbid, in the United States? Now they have tens of thousands of what could be members of a military for Xi Jinping. To me, I still find it hard to believe. Is that a possibility?
Well, the possibility is, Grant, if you look at Chinatown, if you look at Flushing, right, you've already had, you know, hundreds of organizations with thousands of members of CCP members here in the United States, and they have not registered themselves as foreign agents. And that is the problem here. You know, regardless if there are hundreds of more Chinese, you know, middle-aged men surging into the United States with through the border, we already have hundreds of thousands of organizations that that directly received orders from the Chinese Communist
Party. So you're saying, Ayla, they're already here.
Exactly, Grant.
It's frightening, really, Prospect, when you look at the police stations, the Chinese police stations, and to think, and, you know, in every major city has a Chinatown. And you're saying those major cities, the Chinatown, there's plenty of members of the CCP infiltrated there.
Exactly, Grant. If you look at, you know, the United Chinese Association of the Eastern United States, this organization's chairman and co-chairman directly worked for CCP's, you know, a frontline work department, which is a national security and intelligence department that was controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. And if we take that as an example, it only registered itself as foreign agent since last year, and their co-chairman now was returned to China. And that is what frightened people most, right? Yeah. Because we have hundreds of more organizations like this. They were based in Flushing. They were based in Chinatown without even exposing themselves to the government.
Yeah. Frightening. And it seems like our government, the United States, is not really doing much about this. I mean, what would you recommend to our government right now to stop this influx? Because at some point we need to know who's coming and going, what their intentions are, instead of just letting people walk in. And this goes for all nationalities, not just Chinese, but your recommendation specifically when it comes to China and these Chinese nationals, what should our government be doing?
Absolutely. Well, I think that all of the illegal entries needs to be stopped, right? We need to scrutinize all of the visas, regardless they are entering into this country or they're already residing in this country. The problem with the infiltration from the Chinese Communist Party is that people who directly worked for the CCP intelligence department, people who directly receive orders from the Chinese government, they were able to obtain legal status in this country. You look at Winnie Greco, you know, who helped the fundraisings for Eric Adams, the mayor in New York. She was able to take orders from the Chinese Communist Party through these organizations that were manipulated and controlled and now based in Chinatown. And, you know, years ago, Winnie Greco was also donating to the fundraising campaign of Hillary Clinton through a CCP-controlled entertaining company. And, you know, these people are you know, obviously leaders of CCP's actions and infiltrations into this country. By searching these people, by investigating into these people, will have a massive impact within the Chinese Communist Party.
It seems like that's not happening at any level, that we're not having any of these types of investigations. And really, the mainstream media is not involved in any of this. Willful ignorance, maybe. So it is still a frightening prospect. CNN did cover this. Now, this goes back to the wintertime. CNN covered this, and they had a translator out with some of these nationals. Let me play some of these clips for you, and then we'll talk about it.
As soon as we pull up, they rush towards us. My mic not even on. But that doesn't stop this crowd of Chinese migrants from venting to producer Yong Shong. They're angry having to wait in the cold for Border Patrol. This is just one of three makeshift border camps we stop at in eastern San Diego County. Alongside migrants from Latin America, at each camp, we meet dozens from China. The numbers reflect the surge. From 2013 to 2022, CBP recorded fewer than 16,000 Chinese migrants illegally crossing the U.S. southern border. This past year alone, more than 31,000. That's roughly double the prior 10 years combined. But unlike those fleeing countries in turmoil like Venezuela, Cuba, or Haiti, these migrants are leaving the world's second largest economy.
What was the reason you left China?
Their answers vary.
His family is poor.
Most cite deepening financial hardships. despite the Chinese government's narrative of a steadily rebounding economy.
How did you get here? How did you get to Southern California?
Their trek north primarily starts in one Latin American country, where Chinese do not need visas to enter.
To Ecuador. How many of you here came through Ecuador?
All right, so my first reaction to this are twofold, Ayla. One is that 31,000 number in 2023, we virtually reached that in April of this month. We had over 30,000 Chinese migrants come through in just April. The other side of this is, after listening to all of that, I understand they're complaining about not meeting Border Patrol, but I don't know if they understand quite how it works here. But number three is Ecuador. If I wanted to stop the flow, it looks like all I need to do is call Ecuador and say, hey, if you want any more aid from the United States, you got to cut the flow of Chinese migrants through your country, and we're shutting it down. Ecuador seems to be an issue here. Why Ecuador, Ayla?
Well, I think a lot of countries have been allowing these migrants to come into and going through these travel plans, right? And this is exactly where the illegal agencies would be able to make profits out of these migrants. And the problem is that any of the clips that you play today, it seems to be that most of the migrants were primarily male, middle-aged men, male. They are not families. They're not, you know, leaving the country with their babies. And even girls are very rare. In all of these video clips. And the problem today is that financial hardships was one of the reasons that people migrate from China to any other countries. And the problem here today is that, we cannot let all of these things to make other people believe that, you know, all of the Chinese people came to America from illegal methods and they were trying to, you know, merge in these groups through the southern borders. In fact, that, you know, we've already seen, you know, many of, you know, students who have worked with military department, who have been, studied in institutions that were funded through the CCP's People's Liberation Army. Their visas were revoked in the past few years. And that was, you know, that was one of the few efforts that we saw to stop CCP's infiltration into this country. But today, if you look at southern border, if we do not have effective policies, you will see more and more Chinese migrants coming into there. And there was no way for the border patrols to verify their, the accuracy of their ID documents and to verify if they were connected with the Chinese Communist Party.
So if Xi Jinping, the leader of China, wants to send in a high-ranking members of the CCP or spies or any of these things, I wouldn't think they'd be sneaking in the southern border. I think he could fly them in diplomatically or posing as a Chinese businessman or something like that that's going to come in and infiltrate himself into some company.
Exactly, Grant. You know, if you look at, people who have been trying to interview Miles or trying to harass Miles in the past years, one of the senior leaders of the National Security Department, whose name is Liu Yanping, when he entered the United States, he did not even hold a diplomatic visa. His visa did not allow him to actually interview Miles. And it was at the time he was actually able to come into Miles' mansion and to question him and to address, you know, all of the issues on behalf of the CCP government. And that is exactly, you know, where we need to pay more attention to. If you look at Qin Hui, who was indicted and now deported, from the United States, that Qin Hui was a successful businessman, also known as a white glove for the former CCP senior officials. You know, the problem, all of the issues that was listed on his indictment was visa fraud, money laundering, and also campaign donations to campaigns, and the donations was linked to the Chinese Communist Party. And all of these things were easily, you know, through made and effectively used through businessmen and through all of the organizations that the CCP had already established in the country.
And then you look at the ties that the Biden family has to the Chinese CCP, the money flowing, Hunter Biden, all the things coming out on a laptop. This is why I say Joe Biden's the biggest national security risk to America that we face today because of all of these ties. This is why I think a lot of this stuff is allowed to happen. You know, Fox News interviewed a local rancher where many of these migrants and illegals come across his ranch. This was his concerns.
They're coming here illegally, and we have no idea why. But they all seem to be, not all of them, most of them seem to be military-age males, and it's very concerning to someone who served in the military.
And back out here, many of these Chinese migrants here, there's at least 100, Arthel. Many of them are single adult men. There's some women as well, and there are some children, but the majority are men. And it's got officials alarmed because it's very difficult to vet them. We obviously don't share information with China, and they can't be sent back because we don't have repatriation with China. Many of them will get asylum, perhaps half or more. And that is one thing that is really compounding the issue. Finally, the bigger question, Arthel, is why now? Why so many Chinese are coming? And no one really has much of an answer for that. You go back to fiscal year 2021.
All right. So that is, I guess, the big question, right? So we know that there's been an increase in the surge of Chinese nationals coming to the United States. Why April? Why are we seeing right now 10, 20, 30,000 migrants? Why now?
Because it's close to the election.
And what do they plan on doing? I mean, is this because you think it's close to the election because the border will ultimately be shut down when Trump wins?
Well, Grant, I think that the border issue is one of the, you know, one of the topic that people mention most often with regards to, you know, when they reveal the elections and policies from the two parties. And the problem here today is that specifically with all of these Chinese migrants, and as the reporter mentioned, right, most of them might be able to actually, you know, apply for asylum here in this country. In fact, that, you know, in the past decades, there are lots of CCP agents who, you know, fraudulently apply for political asylum here in the United States. You look at, and you know, they portray them as survivors of the Drone Force Tiananmen massacre. They portray them as, you know, that they have fled from communist regime because they have, you know, religious suppression. But in fact, that there are lots of migrants who came to the United States, went to church and attend, you know, certain so-called religious events and use them to apply for political asylum here. And this is, you know, where that we need to be cautious of granting these immigration status to the citizens. I myself, you know, is Chinese. I love all of the Chinese, but the only thing is that we should not encourage anybody to enter, you know, a freedom-loving country with illegal methods. And this is not, you know, this should not be tolerated. And even the new federal state of China, we encourage rule of law. And the first thing is that you need to respect all of the laws and regulations here where you live.
Yeah, this goes for everybody, not just those coming from China, but it really goes for everybody, including our own government, by the way. Let me play lastly Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota. She has some interesting thoughts about China and what her state is doing to push back against the CCP. Look, we know they're buying up meat processing plants. We know they're buying up farmland. We know they're buying up critical land next to military installations. All of these things we've talked about before, Ayla. South Dakota's trying to push back on this. It'll be interesting to get your response to what she has to say about this. Listen.
Of course, you've endorsed President Trump. I want to get your take on what he said regarding communist China. You've been very good pushing back against the communist China and Chinese party's efforts to acquire land in your state. Tell me what's at stake.
Well, we've been fighting to make sure that China can't own our property, but that's just based on the knowledge that the last 30 years I've worked in policy, I've seen them buy up our fertilizer companies. I saw China buy up chemical companies. They own our processing systems for our food supply. Very concerned that if they buy the land, they will complete that cycle. And when they control our food, they will control us. Now, remember everything that China does every day to undermine America. They manipulate their currency. They steal our IP. I believe they're using the southern border to get people into this country to collect data and to spy on us. They're not just using balloons. They're using every tool that they have. And that's the people of the CCP that are in here gathering information in our communities that they will use against us.
Ayla, I take it you agree with her.
Absolutely. Well, You know, the problem here is that if you look at all of the, you know, acquisitions of land and properties, you found CCP actions to be very precise. They went to control your food supply chain. They went to control your battery factory plants. And they also go after your chemical suppliers and chemical businesses. And, you know, these were not just accidentally acquisitions from businessmen in China, right? These are very strategically planned to, you know, to manipulate and to infiltrate CCP's power into different industries.
Ayla, are there any American companies that own farmland in China, meat processing plants in China, chemical plants in China, critical infrastructure, part suppliers? Are we supplying their critical infrastructure with parts? Any American companies doing this in China?
No, absolutely not. And in fact, that Grant, you know, a small tip here that if there are critical, you know, even with farmlands, if there are farmlands with great qualities and great, you know, and quality of lands and great weathers, most of these land was actually controlled by the Chinese Communist Party itself. So even with farmers in China, they will not be able to obtain, you know, the lands themselves because it was all CCP state controlled, let alone business.
Wow. Amazing. Lastly, before I let you go, I want to ask you briefly because Vladimir Putin, the leader of Russia, also really Russia's become quite an enemy of the United States. Vladimir Putin goes to China. We know there's this access of evil, basically. Russia, China, North Korea, Iran. You could throw in those proxies. And then, I don't know, you probably throw in some of the Middle Eastern countries that are really under the thumb of China. But Vladimir Putin goes to China. They roll out the red carpet for him. Antony Blinken goes over. No red carpet for Antony Blinken, our Secretary of State. What do we make of this trip?
Absolutely. If you look at, you know, CCP's state announcement after Putin's visit, you found that Xi now called China-Russia relationship as no limit partnership with each other. And what does it mean by no limit, right? You understand that these two are now brothers with each other. And if you look at all of the traveling stops of Putin in China, you found it very interesting that Putin was, planned to visit the northern part of China later on, not just Beijing. If you look at Blinken, you look at Yellen, they all landed not in Beijing, but in Shanghai, Guangzhou, these economic prosperous cities, but not the capital. Putin went to the capital, and then he went to the northern part of China, where Xi, you know, built up a China-Russia strategic military operation center for him, specifically for Russia-Ukrainian war there. So every step that Putin made in China is now linked to CCP's entire support through military weapons, through logistics, to support Russia's attacks against Ukraine.
Look, China loves to gain allegiance from these other countries by basically buying their allegiance, providing them things that they don't have, and then making them beholden to them. I don't think Xi Jinping gives a rat's ass, excuse my language, about whether or not Vladimir Putin wins in Ukraine or not. I don't think he cares about that. What I think he cares about is providing this support so Vladimir Putin is beholden to China. That's it. He wants him on the hook like a loan shark.
Exactly. And today, you know, that even, you know, just from the beginning of the Russia-Ukrainian warfare that the Chinese Communist Party already supplied with military, massive amounts of military weapons and logistics, you know, since then, that it has never changed. And you know, I would personally believe that the China-Russia Operation Center is now still operating and supporting Putin.
Yeah, amazing stuff. We're so grateful to you, Ayla, for coming on today and talking about these things. We're grateful to the whistleblowers inside the Chinese Communist Party that helped fill your head with so much knowledge and the breadth of knowledge that you bring us. And they risked their lives to do that as well. And so thank you to the new federal state of China for that. I know Miles Guo, the founder of the new federal state of China, along with Steve Bannon, has a big trial coming up. I'm sure we'll be talking about that a little bit. And the political persecution, it appears to me, continues on that front as well. So, Ayla Wang, thank you so much for coming on, and have yourself a fabulous, fabulous weekend.
Thank you, Grant. Thank you so much.
All right, you got it. And folks, thank you for joining me. Don't forget the website, grantstinchfield.com, grantstinchfield.com, Stinchfield1776 on all the media platforms. We'll see you on the Real America's Voice show tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And then a quick note, I'll be at the NRA convention in Dallas tomorrow, and we'll be doing some live coverage from there. I'm looking forward to that. President Trump will be in speaking. We'll cover that live on Real America's Voice as well. So stay tuned for that. But we'll see you tonight. Stinchfield's Army Rolls. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you soon.